हेलो
हेलो
भाई।
भाई, क्या
Advocating
Evening, everyone. I'd like to call to order the Newtown Borough Council work session of April 8, 2026. Please stand and join me for the flag. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we move on to public safety, I just want to address the PennDOT announcement that went out yesterday that they were effectively closing State Street today for 3 months. I know it's caused some people some frustration, but that information was inaccurate, and so Craig's going to give a deep update.
Sure, thank you. There is some general update with more specific updates to follow, particularly following a meeting that we'll have next week. But in short, and for the short term, it's important to know that nothing will begin today, tomorrow, this week. The earliest any activity will happen down by where the train track crossing is, down by the club, is May 15th, about half May. And there may be some full-time closures to through traffic. But that is what we will talk about, the extent to which there will be any kind of closures that would result in detours, which, and so I don't want to go any further that there'll be closures, but other than to say that there could be. Related to that is the paving, and that work is related to the utility work that has been ongoing of the PICO gas main work through town on South State Street. The restoration for work that has been completed all the way up to the train tracks will happen now in mid-June. That was previously communicated that it would happen April, May. It is now, the best estimate we have is June 15th, when that would happen. There will, however, be work that happens at the train track crossing and south to the bypass. When and again, the how much that activity impacts traffic is yet to come.
Great, thank you. So we'll move on to public to be heard. And as just a reminder, we have public to be heard both at the beginning and the end of the meeting. Public comment during the meeting will only be taken if we have an action item like a motion. So I open it up for public to be heard.
Does it have to be on that subject?
It can be on any subject.
Okay.
Please just state your name for the record and whether or not you are a borough resident.
Yes. My name is Judith Carver. I am a borough resident. I live at 530 Penn Street. I've been out there for almost 30 years. I have been experiencing lots of construction. On the right side of me, there is a diluted built a house being built. It is almost to say that I have had no problem whatsoever with that. I haven't, but the reason I am here is the one on the left-hand side, and the address is 532 10th Street. It was purchased and sold on December 11th for $830,000. I suppose a contractor, but he's more of an entrepreneur, and some investor bought the property. And from what I hear, they're self-dividing it, whatever, but that's not my concern. For the last week or so, the gentleman who owns it has been doing all the work himself, demolition. There was an in-ground pool in the backyard. He removed that all by himself. I guess he rented a forklift. Don't know if he even has a certificate to drive one, though. So then he proceeded to take the whole house down before the house was hosed down, which is supposed to be done because of if there's any asbestos or any kind of toxic things on the house or coming off of the house. He did not do that. So yesterday, there was stuff in the air. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I was down here at the bar and spoke to someone. Like I said, he did the demolition himself. It was a very windy day, and everything is all over the place. I watched them out my window doing backfilling with the pool, putting some of the this stuff material from the house into the hole, the pool. I did approach him, and he wasn't very nice, so I basically walked away. I know for a fact, after watching Nick DeLuca do the house next door, before they took it down, they took all the doors and the windows out, all the stuff inside. They proceeded to hose the whole house down before it was demolished, during and after. And then after, and every step, they separated everything. The concrete, the siding, everything was all separated. He had dump trucks come. Every time there was a load, a dump truck would come and take it all away. And I was fine with everything. I mean, he put all kinds of things up. They cleaned my house, ground, because things would pop out and go onto my ground. And, they took care of me completely. This man is not following anything. He's doing his own demolition with that. I don't know this, but it seems like very amateur. All I could see out my bedroom window yesterday morning was that thing swinging and slinging and him just dumping and dumping. He's had about 8 dumpsters there today, and he's not even made a dent in it. There's a big pile of everything that was in that house, on that house, next to my house, very close to my house. And I actually did sleep last night because every morning I wake up to this, and honestly, I'm afraid he doesn't know what he's doing. He has not completed taking out the basement. He can't get it out. He doesn't have strong enough equipment, as far as I'm concerned. I come from a family of builders and masonry people, and I know what I'm talking about. And I just feel like he's done a lot of violations, and I want it checked on because, God forbid there's hazardous materials and they get into the ground. I live right next door, goes into my water. Also, God forbid that he's digging where he shouldn't, there ends up being a sinkhole, and we know that there's been sinkholes in the borough.
So you said you spoke to someone?
Who is doing the work.
Haven't spoken to someone here.
So, I did speak to him yesterday, and someone did come out and speak to him, and he did stop the pool thing, but he's still... I mean, it's just, now I notice that him and his son have masks on. Somebody must have told them that, you're breathing in that air. And I don't even go outside when he's working because, honestly, I'm afraid I'll be breathing in that stuff. And I try my best to keep myself healthy.
So if our zoning office is aware of it and they've already been out, they'll keep an eye on it.
Okay. The zoning officer come out? Is that who it was?
Yeah. We've got him keeping an eye on it.
Okay. And I know that I can take pictures, and I've been taking pictures. I took pictures of DeLucas with all his, and I'll tell you what, he is on top of things. Well, he is a professional. This gentleman is not on his own. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing it to our attention, and like Craig said,
and someone is on that.
Okay.
I have a question about that. Since his subdivision land development plan has yet to be reviewed and approved, does he even, I'm addressing our solicitor here, does that mean that he has a permit to demolish
this
at this point?
Was this subject to
land development? Yes, 532 has a Falda plan in that is under review. So he wouldn't be issued a building permit yet. Is he, has he been, do we know if he's been issued a demolition permit?
I would think he had, but I can't confirm that.
I don't think there's anything with a Saldo application that would prevent him from applying for a demo permit, because he would be entitled to demo and build on the existing lot as it is.
Yeah.
But
he could get one. It doesn't mean he has one.
That's my question.
Can we check and see?
Would it be in the Saldo code?
That would be up to Craig and the code office.
I'm aware that you demolition the home that you build.
Right, but they still need a permit from us.
Still needs a permit.
Right, yes.
So it's a violation.
Well, we don't know if people are going to check.
Okay. We'll take appropriate measures.
Thank you. Right, thank you. Any additional public to be heard?
Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Yes.
Thank you. I
as you heard,
I've been very upset over all of it.
Appreciate you bringing it in.
All right, then, moving on.
Thank you. I'm going to.
You want to speak?
Yes.
Go ahead. I'll leave it to you.
The time?
Yes, yes.
Okay, my name is Jennifer Wolf. I'm here because I'm a very proud member of this town. And I'm finding that this town is giving over to the kind of power that has been all too much present in past years, when it's more timely to build and to demolish rather than resurrect and keep a community together. I think Newtown is well respected and known because it has been such a community that really does care and look after its own. And when we do, we find that now some very wealthy builders and people that have the means can do something that is beyond the pale to me, because I'm thinking that our community, our Jane Jacobs footprint, is now being lost, that we are thinking that it is timely to do something that is expedient and profitable rather than something that is community benefiting. I think I've been all over the place. I don't know exactly what I should address here and now, but I think you get my pitch, which is we have a town that is not a relic. If it's going to remain vibrant and something that we can all feel very proud of, as we do, we need to be sure that we are keeping the structures, keeping the community friendships alive.
That's only the historic area, that's all.
Oh, I'm talking about what's now being considered in center. Liberty Center or Center Liberty. It doesn't have any liberty for me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any additional public to be heard? Okay, moving on. Michelle, engineer's report.
Thank you. Going down my engineer's report, the State and Court Street development. We were notified by the developer that they submitted as-built plans, or they submitted as-built plans to us electronically. We notified them that there are some outstanding invoices that have to be paid to the borough before we start working on those as-built plans. 110 North State Street, our review is complete, and the escrow tabulation that is required was submitted to the solicitor's office. However, the plans are not yet approved. They have still some minor revisions to do. the Frost Lane sidewalk and bicycle shadow project, all that work is now complete. And it is within the maintenance period. However, I think we mentioned last month that PICO is now going to do some work that's going to disturb some of that new sidewalk. Liberty Center, we sent our review to council, which I know is on an agenda item for tonight. And the 2026 road program, we submitted our preliminary cost estimate to the manager last week.
Great. Any questions for Michelle on any of these items except the Liberty Center since that's next?
Road program. So that's Edgeborough and what's the other one?
North Congress Street.
And North Congress Street.
Right. It doesn't mean that that's what's going to be done. It's a preliminary cost estimate, which we submit to the manager. Manager, along with you, will decide what is actually comprising.
So were those streets high on our list and they're in bad shape?
North Congress Street was Edgeborough Drive. I don't want to speak for you, but I...
If it wasn't, after this winter, it is.
It is.
It's yeah.
Even higher than that, I would say. That.
Okay, thanks. Okay, great. You may continue on with the next agenda item.
Do you want me to continue on with that?
I think you're the head honcho here on this one.
Hear that, Greg?
I like it.
So we received a sketch plan a couple months ago for the Liberty Center development, did a review of that, and then we received a overlay ordinance proposal for that development and a revised sketch plan. We went through that proposed ordinance with a fine-tooth comb, and what you have before you is a many-page review letter that makes several observations, several suggestions, and lists several revisions that have to be done for that ordinance. I don't know how, I don't think you want me to go through every item in the letter. No, I didn't think so. Do you want to open it up to questions or talk about it?
Okay. I appreciate you just highlighting in terms of what you may think of the most important changes, revisions, or suggestions that we do have.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. As I said, there are a lot of items that I think that they have to go through and just clarify for us. It's hard to say that several specific items are the most important, because it depends upon how they answer our review letter. Something that might be simple as they need to add a trail along the building might not seem like a big deal, but they might not be able to. And if we think that's a specific or an important item, then we want them to include it. So it's hard for me to say what is really important right now until I know how they're going to address each of these items. However, with that being said, I will say that this development is within the TC and Village Commercial Zoning Districts. It was proposed previously, Steepleview, as a TND1 development, and it looks like they're trying to closely resemble those requirements that were previously used in the Steepleview development, but there's a lot of inconsistencies. But they are still providing the Greenway Trail, which the borough has said is very important to them, at least the past borough council. They are proposing a public space, which the previous sketch plan showed a municipal type building. Now it's more of a piazza and an open area. So there are some good things, I believe, with this development, things that changed. There's no more walking a quarter of a mile down the road for people who are going to live in apartments. All the parking is contained within the site, which I think is a good thing. But they have a lot of questions still to answer.
So just to narrow this conversation.
Please.
Yeah. Your review was excellent.
Thank
in
you.
Terms of looking at, and you looked at an ordinance and said, these are things that need to change in order for us, if we're going to embrace this ordinance. I think the question council really needs to look at is, why would we need to embrace this ordinance? We have an underlying T&D ordinance. We have an underlying ordinance already. And the only reason to embrace a change to ordinance would it be appear to me to be to permit this development that's coming in, rather than the development meeting our ordinance requirements. They're asking us to change the ordinance to meet them. And I think that council really needs to look at that. And I open that up conversation up, because I think before we start talking about, you know, should, you know, C1D7 be reworded, or do we need another thing here or another thing here in order to tighten up the overlay ordinance, we need to decide if we're even going to go down that path. And that's what I would like to hear from council.
If I may, sure. I think part of that may also be, if council so chooses, if the model of the TND is what council does like for type of development, if there's any modification of our TND regulations,
sure,
to evolve with this project.
Sure.
Just to throw that
sure. Right, yeah. Right. And certainly, you know, the TND ordinance was written in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's 16 years ago. We've seen how it's been attempted to be applied to development. Clearly, it's an odd-shaped piece of property, but it's also right smack in the middle of town. And so there was a lot of thought that went into that TND ordinance. And this is the first time that anyone has said, oh, there's something wrong with the ordinance. So I think that we kind of need to look at all of that and what the effect is going to be. And that I'm sure you all received my comments before. But that, I think, is the crucial thing now, is to say, why do we want to do this? What is the benefit for the town? And then go from there.
Just a point of clarification. I don't know if they are saying that something is wrong with the TND ordinance. As you said there, the TND ordinance was written 16 years ago. Of course, things change within those 16 years. We see now a bunch of different types of uses that we didn't see 16 years ago. Data centers come to mind, although there'll never be a data center in Newtown Borough. So things change. This development has conditional approval. The previous steeple view has a conditional approval. Doesn't mean that they're going to put shovels in the ground tomorrow, but they have an approval to do that type of development. Now, whether or not they can meet all of those conditions, I don't know. They haven't really tried. We haven't received any revised plans since that was conditionally approved. I from past experience, I will say they probably have that approval, have the piece of ground, and thought, what can we do on that piece of ground? Apartments are the new type of use. These type of apartments, four-story buildings, four, five, six-story apartment buildings. So I think if we were looking at a new or changes to the ordinance, it could or should have some type of apartment style use. Not that we have to agree with what they're showing in the ordinance. We can make it or suggest changes to what you all feel comfortable with.
Well, to be fair, apartments are permitted in our T&D.
Correct.
But they need to be in a mixed-use building.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain requirements that are in there. And the thought process behind the T&D was to perpetuate and support and emphasize the small town organization that is Newtown, and that we have a central commercial core that is already mixed use. And that is what needed to be when that ordinance was put together, is to say, what can we do to continue to perpetuate that, which is really an important part of our downtown. We don't have office buildings. We have mixed things. We have first floor non-residential use with apartments upstairs. There is the ability for, you know, we have restaurant here next door to a law office. We have all kinds of mix, but we're a small town, and that's a very small enclosed area. And so the TND, when it was written, was to say, well, what can we do to allow development of a large tract of land? And obviously we knew that Stockbroker property was there, but it needed to be written in such a way that it didn't just apply to that property. There are other large properties in town that are obviously going to be ripe for development. And what should be allowed in there, what perks can be allowed, for example, different kinds of side yards and different kinds of other things, but other things to make sure that it didn't turn into like a mall or a suburban townhouse development, that area of town needed to be preserving that element of central business district in a structure that people have been trying to emulate all over the place. You know, they've been trying to, that's the thought that went behind it. So the point is, this overlay actually says, is negating some of those things that TND ordinance really emphasized. And that's my
concern. To Michelle's point, that was written 16 years ago, things changed. So I guess my question to you is your main concern the lack of mixed use?
I think that's one of my concerns, that there is a lack of mixed use. Another of my concerns is the size of the apartment buildings, which are very big in that location. And if you want to imagine at Wegmans, where we have those new apartment buildings right next to the road, you take the two that are next to the road, you add the two right there, plus the space in between, that length of those two buildings with the intervening space is the length of one of the proposed buildings that they are proposing. That's big. That's like a third of the site that there's down here to be one apartment building. So that, I think, is out of scale with what's around it. And I think we really need to look at this.
Does our current overlay, or not current, does our current ordinances and so forth make those buildings smaller or keep them smaller?
Yeah.
That's your concern?
Yeah, also. Smaller buildings, shorter buildings,
height,
fewer, height, length, and number of apartments in them, and mixed use.
Like how much smaller? Like significantly smaller?
Yeah, like a third.
Wow.
Yes.
How long range is it possible? How do we find the shelves? We have the equipment. I'm sure you do, but what is the height of the bigger bank building? And I know somewhere in one of Al's applications, we have the zoning hearing board application, I think we have the height of the back of the hardware house. But in terms of height comparables, because that was one of my concerns looking at that, you know, there's the length, but there's also the height.
It was before my time when the original preliminary plan. But didn't they do those?
Yeah. So what the TND actually has in it, which is all part of making things fit with the surrounding area, is that 35 feet is the height that is permitted on our ordinance. But in a TND, there's such a thing as contextual height.
Right. Which is why we looked at all those. Yeah.
Right. And that actually Alan Smith did go to the zoning hearing board to get a ruling on that, because he wanted to have buildings that were taller. Right. And the bank building is tall and the hardware house is tall. So they did go and say, well, here's what we're proposing, and we'd like to put buildings that were taller. And they did get approval for that.
Right, I was there.
Yeah. So, and that's not to say that Liberty Center couldn't also come and say, this is how tall we'd like to make. And go through that same process of, and actually the Planning Commission is highly involved in that, mm-hmm. because it's actually not a zoning violation. It's a planning process to say, you know, context sensitivity. Are these buildings fitting in with their surroundings? Because you don't want to have buildings that are too small or too tall, because then they'll look funny. So the option is in the TND ordinance to go for that. And so that is something that's already there. But it also doesn't say absolutely you can build buildings so high. Mm-hmm. It says you have the option. You can come and say, well, look at what's around, and it may well fit. And that, I think that, I mean, that's already there.
And I believe that Allen's tallest building was 47 feet.
Yes.
Yeah, 47. Yeah. I have similar concerns. Probably my main concern is the lack of mixed use, because this is about a third of our downtown commercial corridor. And I think once we give that up, if we were to approve a plan like this, we're never getting that back.
Mm-hmm.
So having solely apartments, there's no condos, there's no transfer tax that we can make. There's no businesses there, there's no sales tax. If the mix of population in these apartments is as what the developer believes, there's going to be a lot of retired people, so there's no income tax, there's no occupational tax. So it seems like we would be giving up a fair amount to accommodate this, getting very little revenue back, but this would increase the size of the town by about 10%. So we will need to supply additional services, police, you know, emergency services, fire. We're naturally going to have to spend more to accommodate an influx of 10% more people. And from everything I've read, mixed-use developments still improve existing main streets, that bringing in more people with carefully thought out, it doesn't have to be a banana republic, but small cafes or a pizza shop or a wine bar or something will bring more people into town. Right now, an apartment development is contributing no new reason to bring anybody into the borough. It's just people sleeping here. And I think to make a decision to give up the mixed use, and from what I'm reading, you know, office space is coming back now. Certain retail is coming back now. Some retail is gone. It's not going to come back, but that's why it needs to be very thoughtful. But to have a 15,000 square foot piazza with nothing around it to activate it, I think is a real lost opportunity. So I just think we need to look very, very carefully at, and I have the same concerns, the height of the building, the size of the buildings. I have issues with the design of the buildings, but I think if we give this up now, we won't get it back, and I think the borough will be better off with mixed use, because it will bring more people. There will be a reason for people to come into the borough. It will be more of a destination, and then people will walk up and down State Street and they'll shop, which is what our businesses are concerned about. Solely residential just doesn't. There's no reason for anybody to come in if they weren't already going to be here. So I think the businesses are thinking that some competition might hurt them, but there's actually not evidence of that. It actually increases business for everybody when you bring in some more good businesses.
So from there, I hear what you're saying, Gina, and I guess I feel conflicted with the idea that that is mixed use the best thing for that area, just because I think about our State Street area here, and we do have, you know, businesses, we don't have the foot traffic, we don't have some of that, and I'm not so sure that if you take everything and you do a mixed use over area over there in that section of town, if that will really pull people into this main corridor. I know that was the proposal that was made to us as a benefit to the town and benefit to State Street, is to not have the mixed use. I'm not saying that I feel conflicted. So I hear what you're saying. You're saying the research says something different than that. However, it would be more people who don't have a restaurant downstairs to go to, don't have the cafe downstairs to go to. And so they're going to pop over to State Street and walk up and use the businesses to that. So I think, I don't know, on the mixed use point, I would like to do a little bit more research on that for my position I do.
To clarify, so I understand what you're saying, you're thinking that even if the shops aren't there, that they're going to still walk into town.
Yes.
And then there are more people patronizing the town.
The more that's there, the more gravity that center is going to have. Mm-hmm. And I think, and so I'm not so sure that people will then, that gravity will translate into people then coming and walking down State Street. That's what I'm questioning or wondering.
Or because you said earlier about that, you said that they would
not have a coffee shop so that therefore they'll come into town.
Right. They'll walk up. You're walking up onto State Street to do to into the business corridor. It may change what the business corridor is if you start putting more newer restaurants, newer facilities, newer shops and things down the other side. It's just a
reason for people from outside the borough to come in.
It is a reason for people outside the borough to come in, but my concern would be that the people would stay there.
And that they wouldn't come to the business down here in the new development and then come up and patronize the existing business.
Right.
A restaurant at the bottom of your apartment building,
mm-hmm.
you're going to go to it, definitely.
That would.
You're going to change.
That's
you're not always going to get in that restaurant. You're going to move
right.
up
right.
and go to different restaurants. Like, you never go to the same place.
Sure.
So
and,
I don't know that they'd stay isolated like that.
And the other issue with the issue they were having with the first development was because it was mixed use, they had to have a different kind of parking plan in place. And so then the parking plan changes how many residents you can have. And then it creates, well, how do we do the flow of traffic if we have more parking spaces that we need because there's, you know, and so forth. So I'm just wondering out loud if the mixed use is worth preserving in that space, or if that not having the mixed use actually benefits State Street and also allows for them to have a better parking plan and traffic congestion plan down by the living and residence areas. If it's just residents only, they're not going to have as much car traffic and so forth. So.
I think that's the main question.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the main conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this out loud so the public can kind of hear,
conversations
in place. Think about.
Different uses require different amounts of parking. So there are other ways to bring in other uses that actually might change the parking to the benefit of the developer. There are uses that require less parking than their apartments might.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an opportunity for negotiation over parking with the developer. I mean, there's a lot of room to have a discussion if we decide we would like to have more of a mix of uses.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed use doesn't just mean coffee shops.
No, it could mean office space.
Right.
It could mean the services. It could be a museum. It could be
It could be a hotel.
It could be a hotel. It doesn't have to be something that would take away from something on State Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the opportunity to, like I said, to negotiate. It's like, well, if we bring this in, we might not be able to provide enough parking over here. All right, well, let's talk about that. So in the previous development, we got ourselves tied up into knots. Council found itself approving a plan that ended up not to be workable, as we know. So even though it's out there, it didn't get built, right? So I think it's good that we are be able to start afresh,
mm-hmm.
but I think that the basis for what the vision for the overall development of the town needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to the Creek Walk and the plaza, just as a reminder, that was required in order for that land to actually be, the borough gave the land through the Heritage Conservancy to Alan Smith to develop, and the requirement was that we were going to get a greenway along the creek and a public plaza. That's in there.
Mm-hmm.
If the developer chooses not to do that, that land comes back to us. If the developer chooses not to do a T&D, and that's actually written in that land swap agreement, land acquisition agreement, that they are to produce a T&D which resembles the TND which was proposed back in 2015, that negates that land acquisition agreement as well, and the land comes back to the borough. So that is still out there, and I think we can't lose sight of that. So we can't think, oh, we're gonna get this and get that. Those things are actually owed to the borough.
Mm-hmm.
They are required at this point. But they also need to be spaces that the rest of the borough is going to get to enjoy, not just the people who are living in the apartments that are being proposed down there. It needs to be a place that people in the borough are going to want to go. You know, is it really does the walk along the creek actually go somewhere? Are there areas in that development, even though they're listed as being public space, are they going to appear to be public space to someone on State Street? Or are people on State Street going to look down and say, well, that's really nice, but that's for the people who live down there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can have a mixed use in their building and say, we have a coffee shop on the first floor that serves our residents, but it's also open to the public.
So
that makes it a mixed use.
Let me ask you a question. I know we're not going to get into the nitty gritty of every line item of Michelle's report,
right.
But she mentioned earlier lack of clarity, meeting questions answered. Would going through that process of getting that clarity, getting those questions answered, help answer some of your questions and concerns?
No, I read all of those things. Those are to make that ordinance tighter and to show that what they're proposing meets the ordinance that they're proposing, right? If I'm understanding correctly from what I was reading, it's like, you know, they put the stuff in the overlay, and then there are comments, Michelle, in your report that says, well, they're going to have to prove they're really doing that.
That's a majority of it. I agree
right,
with that
right.
statement.
So, but that's not going to clear up to me, because all the differences are very clear. That if council is in agreement that we want to allow those that overlay, which applies only to that actual exact piece of property, is that what we want? In which case, what do we have to do to allow it? If it's not exactly what we want, then we may not need an overlay ordinance at all. And that's where I am.
Right. We're in a completely discretionary portion of this process, with them proposing a combination text and map amendment. It is up to you as to whether it advances through the process, and if it does advance, what it looks like. This is a policy decision, creating a legislative zoning regulation. So you are fully in control to see the product that goes forward. It, like Julia said, if you like the product that they produce, you can advance it. If you don't, you can make any changes to it, et cetera, as it goes through the process, or just choose not to advance it at all.
And that's what we need to figure out tonight.
Did we ever receive a list of how they deviate from the TND? For example, the option was go to the zoning hearing board. I understand you wouldn't want to necessarily do it, you didn't have to, versus a completely different. Well, what are the major changes? I know size, capacity, height of the buildings, no problem. But what else? Is it just mixed use? Like, what are the other things that they would have had to have gone to the zoning hearing board?
I remember language-wise, I remember, Julia, you said at our last meeting that it wasn't that different from our current ordinance.
I actually went through.
Changed your mind?
No, I went through. No, I did not. No, I actually went through and said, like, what's the difference here? And I wrote the differences. And then when I wrote that, my note to council, I said, well, here are the major ones. Here are the big ones you need to concerned about. Other ones are fairly minor. And that the differences might be like, I mean, most of it, they just basically repeat it and say, well, all right, they repeated what's already in our ordinance. They might've added a couple uses that we don't have. And I would question whether we even need to add them, or they could add them. We can include them and consider them part of it or not. They were very close in everything else, with the exception of the sizes of the building, the number of apartments, and the emphasis on residential as opposed to mixed use. And that was it, which is why I put that little chart at the end of what I sent to say, here are the big differences. Beyond that, there's really not that much difference. So
except for the big ones.
Except for, well, those are the big ones. I'm saying the rest of them are just like, you know, not really that big. They're not.
Hence your comment. Do we even need a new ordinance?
Exactly. They're not that significant. If you, unless you are in agreement, well, if you want to make those big changes, then yes, you're going to have to change the ordinance. If you're not,
yeah, can't you just give variances?
That's what we have. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't our, excuse the interruption, our October 22nd, 2025 review letter do, I think, what you just asked? How does there are some changes between the previous sketch and this sketch. We went through the previous sketch and saw where they were not conforming to the existing ordinance. So you might want to review that review letter along with Julia's notes.
So as long as we're given our philosophical positions, may I do the same?
Of course.
So first of all, for the benefit of the public that's here tonight and we're listening, I think you've heard that what the applicant is proposing is not specifically allowed under the ordinance as it stands today, so that they're asking for some significant changes to our ordinance in order to allow the plan that they propose to move forward. And as our solicitor has said, that ends up being discretionary on the part of borough council. They have at least the potential route of going for zoning variances. I know that that's not their preferred route, and that may be a very challenging route. And that's why they've come to us and asked us to consider these ordinance changes that would allow the development that they've designed to move ahead. So that's the situation. Secondly, I want to point out that there are benefits to what's been proposed, and that there are proponents in our community of what's been proposed. Our a number of business owners and property owners, commercial property owners in the borough, have appeared before us and expressed their strong support for this plan. And I think I heard some of the reasons, and I can probably understand some others. One being, this property has been sitting there vacant for 15 years. It's not doing anybody any good, least of all our business owners. Secondly, it will add, perhaps approximately 200 residents to our community. Those residents will help in terms of shopping and dining and being in the borough and supporting our businesses. Third, there is the benefits that come with the plan. There's frankly, a much nicer plaza in this plan that had been proposed by Alan Smith. There would be the completion of the trail that I think we all would like to see. And this plan has a much better approach to preserving and locating the public parking element than did the previous plan under Alan Smith. So let's not lose sight of the potential benefits of this plan. However, as you've heard here, there are a number of concerns that a number of the council members, and I know in speaking to a number of our residents, do have with respect to this plan. One being the size and scale of the buildings, the height of the buildings. The look of the buildings in many aspects, but I think it probably boils down to the size in terms of height and mass of the buildings. That would be one. Two is the lack of any mixed use. It's just apartments. And three is the plan is well designed for what it is, very well designed for what it is, but what it doesn't do is really integrate into it doesn't feel, it feels somewhat separate from the rest of State Street, and there's no activation of the first floor. So from that perspective, it's not additive to the energy or the integration of uses that are in the borough. So that's where we're at, and that's what we're debating. I'll stop there. I just wanted to let everybody know what to my mind, what the challenges are before council and what we have to weigh in terms of how we're going to go about this. And I didn't even take a position in that. When this applicant first came before us, I think one of the key factors that I raised with them was lack of activation of the first floor. The first floors of these buildings is parking, right? It looks like a building, but behind the building is just parking. And I really would like to see some effort of both in terms of use and design, you know, make this feel like it's part of the State Street infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. So, Greg, remind us what we need to decide tonight.
Well,
if anything,
if anything is the question. I think there's been multiple comments. If council can choose to advance the draft that was submitted to the planning commissions, the borough and county planning commissions, to offer their comments before you make any further decisions, but if also if it's not in a position today that is something that even remotely resembles something you want to see, council can also elect to provide comments back to the applicant as to how they would want to see it differently. They can elect tonight to not advance the amendment at all for further review. You can kind of direct however you whatever you want to see happen next at this juncture. So I think I don't know if I heard a clear position from council as to where you are right now or what you need to feel comfortable yet to make a decision one way or another.
I have a question. It's about the original plan, the steeple view plan that was approved by previous council. That's still on the table. They could
Correct.
Say, well, if you want mixed use, that's the plan we want. And they get the stocking works variance, everything that came with that, with the conditions, and they could basically implement that plan.
Would they?
They have to address. They have to address all of the comments that were in the conditions of approval, and that was a lengthy.
Yes, it was, but technically list. They could go back
they
to that and say, "Well,
could.
Then we're just going to do that plan."
Mm-hmm.
The approval still stands.
Right. So to address Greg's summary, I don't think I'm at the point yet where I can just say no. I'm not moving this forward in any way. I would lean toward going back to them with our concerns and ask for whatever changes we want and that kind of thing. I'm not ready to just say no at this point.
So would our changes be, we'd like to see some mixed use. It doesn't have to be the mixed use, you know, full amount that was in the previous application, say, but we'd like to have some that integrates the buildings into State Street and create some sort of destination. And the dimensionality massing is too big for where it is and for State Street. So, and the difference between the size of those in the application and what's in the T&D is so dramatically different. We'd like to see them broken apart, made smaller in some way. And you know, I know I'm sure the applicant made his calculations on, you know, you're investing money in, but you have to make it back. But how can we make it viable, but without being so big? Because when you look at those there, and Julia, thank you for your comparables for the Wegmans Pickering
Preserve.
Yeah, because they didn't preserve it. But anyway, when you look at the building behind the bank, and you know, and that's a sizable building that's pre-existing, these are much larger than that. So
I just think those are the two main things I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I think it may be helpful to even go back with some structural comments. I know, Julia, you had a comments about structure of how this is being accomplished, whether it's under the existing TND or modification to the TND. If you're not, the council isn't interested in an overlay or a new zoning scheme altogether, I think that's important to communicate at this juncture, because that would significantly impact what you're going to receive back from the applicant.
So I see there are a couple representatives of the applicant here, and one question I would want to know is how willing are they to consider some changes to their plan that would change how their uses are and things like
you
that.
Can address them.
So, all right. So I see Jeff here and I see Dave here. Is there willingness on part of the applicant to talk to us about some significant changes to the uses and perhaps some things that could be done to make your plan conform more to our existing ordinance and that would actually be to the benefit to both parties?
We also grappled with the issue of whether or not to include retail on the ground floor, and we spent months going back and forth with different schemes on it. And I'll let you know, the main thing that drives a lot of the design decisions we have here is parking. the size of the buildings are larger because we need to park underneath them. The way the current zoning is, if you're doing 6 units or 12 units in each building, that means your surface parking, it means nothing fits.
Right.
So part of the decision not to include retail was driven by parking, which requires 500,000, which greatly expands. The other considerations we were looking at is we got vacant storefronts on both ends of State Street and new construction rent. If we were going to build something new and put, you know, 10,000, 5,000 feet down there, rent's going to be significantly higher than what they have to charge there to get any kind of economic return. So we're certainly open to it, and we've considered it. We would definitely need some relief in some other areas to be able to accommodate.
So let me just take 2 seconds. One is that non-residential is not just retail.
Right.
There are other things you can do. Another idea is, would you consider thinking about turning building one into a hotel? Because there are a couple of reasons why. Certainly it's a benefit to the borough, and I can enumerate all these differences, but one is it has a less of a parking requirement than apartments. It also would be a way to bring in more people into the borough, because it's an ever-changing group of people that are going to want to go to restaurants and shops and all the rest on State Street. So it's a benefit to State Street for sure. Doesn't mean the whole building needed to be hotel, but perhaps it's, you know, or extended stay. And it could be like maybe your upper floors are apartments and your lower floors are an extended stay hotel. That is one thing that you could bring in that's not going to compete with the retail on State Street. It also, if there are meeting facilities, I mean, that's another use that brings in more people and has a benefit both to you and to the borough. I think is something that you might want to consider. That building one seems to kind of set it, seems to look like that's what it wants to be. You know, even with the parking that goes down below, it's like, oh, well, this looks like a hotel to me, you know. So things like that you might want to consider. If that becomes something other than full, that becomes a mixed-use building, that gives you more flexibility in what the other buildings on your property have. In terms of designing buildings, there are ways to take your bigger building and chop it up, perhaps with a glass atrium connecting them, which will help to give a view that looks like two smaller buildings. If you break it up, you might be able to be very close to what our T&D requires in terms of numbers, maximum number of apartments in each building. If you're going to have a coffee shop on the first floor or a gym on the first floor that's to serve your residents, if those are actually open to the public, that actually makes your building mixed use. Because you have, you know, it's not that you only people living in the building can use it, which means it's not a public amenity at all. Things like that. That there's a lot of things that we could talk about that aren't going to make such huge changes to your development, but will help to pull it in and be underneath our existing ordinances and will help support State Street and the rest of the town.
Even if there are some concessions, a middle ground.
Well, right. Yeah. So there is a way to then have a conversation about, well, you know, that means we might need 10 more parking spaces here or there. Well, let's talk about that. Yeah.
So let me address the issue of building height.
Mm-hmm.
You talked earlier about contextual considerations. And the contextual consideration here is that the three buildings we have generally sit a full floor lower than State Street, even a little more. And in context, you know, we're going to end up, because we started at a lower point, we're going to be lower than the hardware store, we're going to be lower than the bank building. And we've solved the problem that Alan Smith had of having 50 parking spaces off-site by putting the parking under the building. And to do that, you need elevators serving from that parking to the upper building. And you need stairways that are required for fire access, those types of things. It's very difficult economically to do parking under buildings with small, little, tiny buildings. They just don't work economically. The much cheaper apartments that are built out on Route 95 are three-story wood frame walk-up buildings. They have no parking under. There's no elevators. They're a different breed of product than what is proposed here. And I think, you know, you sort of need to understand the economics of building, but you also need, we've really looked hard at the site itself and how it sits in the landscape of Newtown Borough. And that's one of the most important things. And I think that site can hold those buildings very easily with the backdrop of the trees along the creek and all that. And I think the idea of retail there, it's buried retail. Retailers need eyes on their signs, and they need pedestrian traffic going by to be successful. We don't need another coffee shop. We've got Starbucks, we've got Calm Waters, we've got another Starbucks in the shopping center. We've got enough coffee. Mimi serves coffee. You know, we've got plenty of coffee shops. And that isn't going to make this, quote, true mixed-use or TND. I believe in the TND notion, but this site in Newtown is different than Main Street. It's not like Washington Avenue. It's not like State Street. It's not like Sycamore, which have drive-by, walk-by traffic on day and night. This site is buried behind and downhill from the mixed use that's along State Street. I mean, it makes it a different kind of site.
So I understand that, and I've heard all these arguments, and I've been through 6 iterations of Alan Smith's development. I was aware of it well before he even came to council, so from about maybe 2007 on, and it's been through multiple iterations. And I've heard all the arguments. I've heard the down from State Street and all that. When you're looking from State Street, yes, it doesn't look that tall. When you are down at the creek, walking along the creek walk, you're going to be in the shadow of a 4-story building. So it doesn't matter what it looks like at State Street. It's what it looks like down there. You're going to be well aware of that area when you park in the municipal lot. You leave the municipal lot, you will see what you've developed across the street. Other towns around the world have taken advantage of their creek frontage, have had cafes along it, other things, like you have your gym on your first floor that looks out on the creek. People will see it and will know that it's there. And it's not that they have to see it when they drive by on State Street. They'll know that when they're walking down the creek walk, oh, here's a place I can go in and sit and whatever. Or that's where I'm going to go work out because it's a beautiful view of the creek. All these things, the options are all there. Because I think that the idea that the only thing that reflects what this development looks like is what you see from State Street, I think I don't think that's entirely valid here. And I certainly understand the economic aspects of this whole thing, because clearly when Alan went through the same thing, he bought a big piece of property and he never developed it. And he went through all of these machinations of changing and coming back and saying, oh, I'm not going to do this. How about I do this? Because nothing was going to work. I understand. And we heard multiple times about, well, you know, I've got to find this balancing act between how many buildings and how many apartments and how many this and how many that, so I can make this work economically. I get that. But that's your problem. Our problem is what gets built and how does that affect our town? And what does that mean for our town going forward into the future? And that's what we have to grapple with from a policy point of view. And I know people are saying, oh, this property's been sitting there forever, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not council's fault. I just want everyone, if people who are not aware of the history of this property, Alan came to us around 2008 wanting to develop this property. He came back with a plan. He went through his first conditional use in 2011, and he just stopped it, got some protests from the township. It didn't come back again for several years. He got his preliminary plan in 2015 and immediately turned around with a new plan. And then he disappeared for 6 years. They came back to say, well, his preliminary plan approval was about to fall to die because he didn't do anything. Came back with yet another plan to get an extension on his permit for preliminary plan. When he finally got final approval for a plan we'll all agree was bad, and I think we'll all agree that we're glad he didn't build it, but then he disappeared for 2 years and sold the land. So if anybody's complaining about we're tired of looking at this eyesore of land, it is not council's fault. And I understand it's a complicated property. It's got lots of issues, not the least of which is where Bedrock is. And then But we still need to make the decision about how it's developed compared to what is it doing to the makeup of the entire town, which is over 300 years old. And there's a reason why it thrived and people have always looked at Newtown as a model.
Okay, so we need to come to a consensus on how we want to move forward. Otherwise, I'll be here.
I appreciate your idea, Emily. The developer's not going to propose something that makes no sense to them, and we're not going to approve something that makes no sense to us. So I like the idea of taking it offline, so to speak, or perhaps setting up a committee of council to meet with the developer and explore whether there's a middle ground that can be found.
Okay. How does everyone else feel about that?
I think that's a good idea. Just go back to them. Because the number of issues that we're all talking about are there's two of them really. So I don't, you know, that's what we need to focus on. And whether that comes into an overlay or a TND, you know, I think it's all the same thing.
Okay. You guys good?
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now concurrently, we need to decide if we want to move this forward to the planning commissions for review or if we want to wait.
I think we should wait.
Yeah.
I think after this week, otherwise, the planning commission is.
It would be an informal review just for their.
But
I've already had.
Yeah. They've already seen the sketch plan. I think we need to.
Okay. So we will continue this conversation offline. All right. Thanks, Michelle.
How does that work?
Question.
Well, Chris's idea of setting up a subcommittee of council, because obviously with Sunshine Laws, we can't be more than three in private. And then that subcommittee can either get together and come up with something to present or meet with the applicants.
Was that subcommittee going to take, you know, any direction from the rest of the
Council? Yeah, I mean, they would just be the ones that come up with, you know, here's what we'd like to present. And I have an idea of who I'd like it to be. I'd like it to be Julia, Gail, and Chris, because you're liaison of the Planning Commission. Julia has her zoning knowledge, and Chris is a developer, so
I agree.
Yeah.
Assignment. That's like the most presidential thing I've ever done. You.
Actually, I have a question. I guess whether it's for you or for if you were waiting to give it to the planning commission, we don't want to waste their time on something that's going to change anyway.
Correct.
If the planning commission is interested, look, they're allowed to look. It's not public, or are they not allowed to look? Like, how is if anybody from the planning commission says no?
Be Greg's answer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know if I quite understood your question. Can you
repeat? So I'm a fan of the planning commission, and I'm really keen to get a like look at the GRO, right? And council says to me, yeah, but this is probably going to change. We don't want it as is, and we have a committee, we're going to work with them, come up with something new, tweak it a bit. We don't want you guys spending time on it yet because it'll be wasting your time.
Yeah.
But I'd really like to take a look at it. Am I allowed to take a look at it, or because it's not public yet and it's going to change, should I not take a look at it? Like,
it hasn't been advanced to the planning commission, so it's not within the planning commission's authority to review or offer
anything. Right, it's basically not right yet. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
All right. Thank you. Anything else, Michelle?
Yes.
No. Okay, moving on to the mayor's report. Sara.
All right. So,
thank you for coming.
Thank you. Okay. First, we have a special event request for a native plant container workshop supported by the EAC. And you will notice also on page 2, under Julie, under EAC, is the Patriot Parks event for the native plants demonstration. We're going to combine these two discussions. So we have the application. This is for 516 for a plant container workshop to sign up, pay a nominal fee for the materials, and you get to learn about planting native plants and take something home with you. So, Julie, you have a sort of more discussion presentation aspect of it. So why don't you do that portion?
Okay.
I wish Catherine was going to be here, but she's on vacation. So you may have seen, actually, there was already an article in the Gazette and in another, I think in another paper announcing it. The EAC is sponsoring an activity on May 16th at Patriots Park for a practical demonstration by a master gardener on how you can plant native plants in containers. And this is a progression on what the EAC has been working on over the last several years to encourage the planting of native plants in our landscape. And one area that everyone realized was important was that a lot of people actually don't have yards to plant in, but that doesn't mean they can't contribute to the biodiversity of native plants and on their porches and patios. So this activity that they have proposed, we actually had applied for a grant to try to cover the costs. It was a long shot, we didn't get it, but I think it that's too bad, but it's, I think the EAC is still looking for some donations of materials, but the total cost of this project is approximately $700. And when consulting with the master gardener, it was determined that there should be a attendance at this at capped at 25 participants, just because of the amount of one-on-one and area and so on, and to be able to make this a worthwhile workshop. But to cover the costs of the materials, the proposal is to charge a $20 participation fee. So because they want to use Patriots Park and expect to have more than 25 people on site at any one time, by our ordinance, they would have to apply for a special event permit, but we aren't closing any streets. We don't need the cops, although they're welcome to come and play with the plants. As much as you'd like to come. that was the reason for the special event application, because it's using the public space. And I think the second part of it is council has to approve using event.
We have a fee schedule, but we don't have anything for that. So we can just do, I guess, an action to approve the charging of the $20 to set the fee.
That'd be fine.
Right. Okay. And then there's an online registration, and people would be paying through
Eventbrite or something.
Eventbrite, yeah. That utilizes a.
And I'm coordinating.
You're that. Coordinating yeah. that, yeah. Yeah. I already had one inquiry from somebody who already wanted to sign up. So
we just need to make sure both motions are on the agenda for next.
Right. Week,
both
right.
the
right.
special event yeah. permit and the right. fee.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Arthur,
I just have a question about this process that with using the Eventbrite. So is Eventbrite then going to send this? Will they be a, how will they pay us through Eventbrite? Is what I'm wondering. How does it go into our account?
Catherine and I are figuring that out.
Okay. Okay, and then
I've used Eventbrite in the past. It's usually like through wire transfer.
So we have just a reminder that Arbor Day is coming up Friday, April 17th. We're listed at 9 to 11:30. The kids will show up. Eagle Man will be there. There'll be lots of fun. There'll be demonstrations and education and adorable children. And songs will be sung, and yours truly will be the proclamation. You have any other comments about that?
I think you covered it.
No,
I think everybody's going to add adorable children, but
everybody needs to come here. The first graders sing the garden song and bring a Kleenex. So that's all I'm going to say on that.
Are you giving a preview?
Is there a
tonight?
I have not been notified, but there's been one every year, pretty much since inception. So as far as I know, but nobody has said me. Sorry.
Is there a poster contest?
Yes, there is a poster contest.
All right,
I haven't heard anything about.
Yeah, they're that. Coming. They're coming to you, and then we have a couple of judges.
Okay, terrific. And as everybody makes their plans for the summer and sets up their rentals at the shore and the Poconos and wherever else you might be going, please keep August 8th open. That's a Saturday. That is Newtown celebrates America's 250th. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have all sorts of people coming in, various demonstrations. We're going to have various reenactors. We're going to do the skirmish at the Bird in Hand. The Dome Gang is going to come through at some point out here. So it'll continue on into the afternoon at various public buildings and churches with, Harriet Tubman's going to be there. She's not going to be colonial, but like historic. We're also kind of celebrating the historic character of the town. Things that have happened over time. So there's a lot going on. More information will be coming out from the NHA. So just please put that on your calendars. The application will be coming to you. It's we're waiting on the certificate of insurance for the NHA, and that's it.
Okay, great.
All right,
Thank you.
All right, great.
All right, moving on to Greg.
Okay. Solicitor's report was provided. Nothing of terrible consequence. We're working with Craig and Michelle on making sure these land development issues are addressed. Item under my report is the fire service agreement update, and with the permission of Emily, we're going to tie this in with the action item at the end of the agenda and move that up for council's consideration. But before you is the intermunicipal cooperation agreement for fire services. This was authorized by the Township Board of Supervisors to be drafted and sent over to the borough to replace our since terminated previous fire services agreement with the township. We did reword and renegotiate the Exhibit A that's attached to this, which specifically lists the services that are provided by the township to the borough. We have gotten confirmation that that is acceptable. So I've reviewed the agreement, so that it's fairly straightforward. It is a payment for the calendar year of 2026 for the services listed on Exhibit A, which is all of the services that the borough has enjoyed from the Township Emergency Services Department over the course of the previous agreement. But instead of any formulas and other more complicated machinations of compensation, this is a straight, the borough pays a fee, we receive the services. It's a one-year agreement, and I believe you can say that we're already in conversations with the township to see what the next version will entail for 2027 and beyond.
Back to January 1st.
It is.
They're getting the full amount.
Okay.
It's a full 2026.
Okay. Because they still have been responding to calls themselves.
So we're have this as an action item tonight to just hopefully lock it up and be done with this for the year. I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm sure also your colleagues who negotiated this are.
Yeah, Josh, Tara, Greg, and I. Greg, we've all looked at it. We all looked at the appendix. We've all approved it. So it's so what I would be looking for a motion to enter the fire services agreement with Newtown Township for 2026.
I would like to make a motion to enter fire service agreement with Newtown Township for 2026.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any additional comments or questions from council? Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes.
All right, I'll communicate that back to the township.
Thank you.
And they're meeting in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I can actually just text Ed now.
There you go. Great. For a
week off this month.
Anything else?
Yeah.
That's all from the solicitor's office.
Okay. Any questions for Greg on the solicitor's report? All right, Craig, moving on to the manager's report.
All right, sorry, I'm interrupting Craig over here.
All right. Stop being involved.
Okay. So let's walk through my list of
The first item is landscaping services. Recall that the last meeting or two ago, we put our porter services, the trash cans on State Street and all the park maintenance and related incidentals out for bid. That bid closed yesterday, and I am in the process. We were successful in receiving a couple of bids, and I'm going to work with Greg in the next day or two to go through due diligence if everything is in order, and I expect that we'd be able to have an action item at our next meeting.
Awesome.
So, okay. I will skip EV charging because that's more discussion, I think. I will jump to the Council Rock School District grant application. This was now quite some time ago, at least earlier in my, maybe 2 years ago, but the Council Rock is going to rehabilitate the Chancellor Center. They have approached Congressman Fitzpatrick to look for a earmark from the federal government for support. It's around $7 million. That scope of work is the same as what was before. It's all interior work. But they have asked, because municipalities need to be the applicant as well as the recipient, should it be awarded, that the borough do such. I think I circulated a memo. Mm-hmm. That application has happened now, although I don't have exact confirmation, but just some communication detail on that. But what we did put in place is sort of a letter of understanding, a memorandum of understanding to sort of control some of the things that if it was awarded, you run into some complexity about money and invoices getting approved and how that's all going to get channeled through. So
we're not doing the work for them.
Yes, it could, roll into a lot.
We get to handle the money as it goes through.
Yeah, right. So
that's right.
Anyway, at the next meeting, we want to add an action item to enter into or ratify the letter of agreement with the Council of Rock School District. Any questions?
It's the same one we did last year, right? Same.
It was more than a year, but yes. Yeah. And I think this year it might be more likely because they are more likely now to be moving forward. They're well into their plan.
Right, it's their plan, yeah.
Yeah. And Pico, I'm happy to report that we received a $10,000 grant for the planning work that would happen for the expansion of the common park area. We negotiated with the development of 110 North State Street development that Michelle referenced earlier. That's, I think, on the precipice of breaking ground. That's only been notified by email. There's more to come on contracting and when that can start. But we'd have some money. It's not that big of a project, and maybe it would be enough to develop some concept and maybe engineering plans on how that easement area could be developed for public use and expansion of the common. So that's that. Let's see, EV charging ordinance update. We have been working, I think, both research and communications back and forth about some of the things that we've been included in that. I think Julia's been a point person on that. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, I got no responses from council with any comments on the ordinance. So,
well, I don't know
if
I gave you
at
the last meeting.
Right. So I didn't hear from anybody else. There are some outstanding things that are still under consideration. I just wanted before moving forward at all. There is the question about for EV charging, private EV chargers in the right of way. That still raises a couple questions. We don't know for a PennDOT right of way whether they would approve that, and if so, what kind of permits are required. And the second is we're still waiting to hear from our insurance company whether they would want to allow it in the borough right away. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, I don't expect that they're going to disallow it, but I think that they might want to see that there would be different controls in place.
Right, so we don't have any clarification.
Has PennDOT been reached? Have they been, asked if this, they have an issue?
They've been contacted?
Yes.
There has been some back and forth, and I just would share that for the PennDOT, I think, is unfamiliar with such requests, believe it or not, on a state street.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it may have happened in towns that people just did it.
And did not ask.
There's right. that possibility. But otherwise, actually going through the front door, there's no process and there's no standard. So
we may be making a lot of ordinance.
There may be some precedent that they're working through because of the case on Washington. So that's all.
Did they say hang on? Like,
yeah, more to keep it simple. Yes, they are looking into some next steps. Yeah.
So I did a quick survey, some of it in person and some of it just by looking at the zoning map to figure out how many properties might be able to take advantage of an ordinance if we approved, if we had a way to approve right away, charging and chargers in the right of way. I looked at properties that did not have any off-street parking, but that were on that actually had parking on their side of the street, and also that the width of the sidewalk plus the grass strip, if there is one, would allow them to have an EV charging station, you know, the pillar or whatever, within a, you know, we were talking about 18 inches from the curb line, and still there would be the 4-foot sidewalk. So those are various requirements. And just as a general, and don't hold me for any of these numbers because it's all very approximate. It appears that there are approximately 20 properties that would meet those requirements. And of that, between 5 and 10 are actually would be using the PennDOT right away. So that just kind of gives you an idea of what we're talking about.
Are there, how many properties would be outstanding from that? Like they don't have a driveway and they also don't meet these requirements.
Okay, so I was approximately 30.
Okay,
and this is very approximate, but sure. Somewhere around 30 properties. And then I went through and said, okay, do they have a wide enough sidewalk and or grass strip? Do they have parking on that side? Okay. And so that took it down to approximately 20. And then I looked at the 20, and this is, and so some of those may not be allowed anyway.
A third would not be eligible
at all.
At all, right. And two thirds would.
Possibly. But this is just from looking at, like, going on Google Earth and saying, oh, does that look wide enough? I can continue to walk around town and make actual accurate notes if that will be helpful. But it just gives you an idea of what how many people might
benefit
potentially want to take advantage of this should it be available. And that's basically it.
May I ask a question? May I? Yeah, I'll wait for the answer first. Why would we want it in the right of way if it's for a private property owner as opposed to moving it outside the right of way and on their property?
Because the cord to charge the car would have to traverse the sidewalk, and that would be an obstruction.
Driveways.
Right. Okay.
So that's the problem we're dealing with, is what do you do? Like we can't have a cord draped across the sidewalk.
So, I was looking into, I've been talking to this guy from Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Who, they have this company, it's called EPSE. It's a private company, but they're in Connecticut and they've been nationwide
since 2007.
Yeah. So they're not out of a garage kind of place. And they have chargers that you can put in the right of way, just like we've, someone borough wanted.
Right.
And it has a retractable cord.
Oh.
He has a patent on it. They've been using them everywhere. LA has done a pilot thing. They also, so they're standalone poles that you can just put right in the right of way, just like
You power under the sidewalk and up to the pole.
Correct. Okay. Which is always going to be their problem, right. Regardless of what they want to do. But in LA, what they did is these can also go on utility poles.
Right.
So LA has done that. And you literally just pull it down from the utility pole, you can plug it in.
Right. Yeah.
So then they did one in Melrose, which is just outside Boston, which is a smaller, not, the guy was explaining, it's not, I explained to him what we have, and he said it's not a small borough as we have. And I don't know about state roads or anything. I could ask him next time I talk to him. But that was another, it's not even a pilot program. It's these programs that they're implementing to get EV chargers. And again, it was on utility poles, mostly utility poles. But he said these are, people use them for private homes, private, they're not cheap, but it kind of, it's exactly what we're, somebody was looking for.
Right. Well, the ones that are on the poles, so they're powered by the public utility.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, and that's an issue. You can do it that way.
Right. So
these, you put 240 right from your house. I explained to them what we wanted, and they said it's exactly.
Well, that's good to know. The other thing that part of the LCAP program that you're going to hear about at next month, next week's meeting, actually, that climate action plan that EAC has been working on with Penn State, looking into the possibility of public chargers and what the plans are. And then part of that project is to, and one of the action items based on that would be finding out what kind of a market there would be in the borough if we had public charging in various locations in the borough.
And really, you should look into these for that also, because again, it's retractable. Right. You have this fob that you can put in. You can, it's got the security that we were all questioning. It has theft is taken care of. Not having the cord dangling away.
Do they look like horse heads?
No. Well, we could put it right on the top there, I think.
I mean, it really
super important.
Right.
It has a little ring to it.
Yeah. Okay, so
well, my thing is it can be done.
Yeah. In other words, and then we are just waiting for the other research from PennDOT and questions answered. And then if anyone has any additional comments on the draft ordinance, please get them to Julia. And we'll talk about this again next month, I guess.
So one, the only other question I had about the ordinance was in it is new developments shall have these. Do we really have, for private residents, do we really want to say you must have, I forget the word.
Well, it was ready. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know
you can't, that really has to be up to the person.
Right. Look, well, then there's no reason for an ordinance. The ordinance says these are the things you must do.
Oh, no. Yeah. If you want to do it, you do it. But no. I read it as in new developments.
Right.
You must have.
Right. Well, that if this is going to move ahead, we can talk about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have comments for you as well from a legal perspective, since there are no more Council Board comments. I can provide them to you now to incorporate them.
Okay. And Craig sent me AI comments. He sent me four pages. We'll have to see if you're
trying to get rid of me.
What makes you get breaks?
Well, I'm going to compare them.
AI can do it.
Not as good.
GPT already got those. Ask some a different one.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, I assume you mean you're going to send those to her.
I'm not going to hand those.
I am not ready to present anything on the external communications policy, so we'll skip that and move on to adoption of amendment to the mobile food vendor ordinance. It has been advertised for the last 30 days, and now however many days.
It has been properly advertised.
It has been properly advertised. And so next week we'll just be voting to adopt it.
That hasn't changed since the last time you saw it and authorized advertisement. We were just in a time situation.
And do we have a permit schedule for a price for what?
We added it to the fee schedule, I think, didn't we?
I know we approved the fee.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't authorize a new fee schedule for 2026, though.
No.
Okay.
So
we didn't ever really have to technically do that.
I know. But we did approve fees.
Yeah, we did.
And it was added to the fee schedule during the last revision. I think we did chicken coops and food trucks.
We probably need some sort of an application.
Yeah, we do need an application.
I think that's what was Smith was asking.
The application is
allowed. Yeah.
Like the actual physical process of going through it. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. So when we talked about the amendment last time, council wanted, in addition to the flexibility, council also wanted to clarify what was actually, you know, the type of mobile vehicle or cart that to which this applied, and we wanted to make sure it wasn't somebody has a stand selling honey. And so this really is my question to Greg. So my concern is reading, because you said you go back and like put something together, and what I'm concerned about is that it sounds like it still applies to those stand that we don't want it to apply to. So
that I think that was the meeting you were at.
Yeah, they were crossed out. Yeah.
But that's what's in here. What is in today's? It says any other device designed to be portable and not permanently attached to the ground, which sounds like a table to me.
Right, but the key word here is vehicle, and it has to be a motorized or non-motorized vehicle, which is a statutorily defined term.
So if you bring your cart in, you have to do it, but if you bring a table in, you don't.
Correct.
But if you have a wheelbarrow with it, like, I don't know. Like, more, here, like if it's two
wheels. Yeah, I'm going to stop here because I can't imagine something with a wheelbarrow.
I saw that, and like, or that might have been, that might have been.
I think that's
I'll agree. The stands in kiosks, which we've removed, was causing the confusion. But it's because it's contradictory to the term vehicle, which is specific under the vehicle code that we rely on. So
So maybe I'm what's it when you break down your sentences?
Confused.
Sentence lag.
Your
diagram.
Yes. So what you're saying is that it must be a motorized or non-motorized vehicle. So therefore, everything under that falls under that.
Correct.
If you have a device designed to be portable and not permanently attached, that does not include tables, stands, anything like that.
Correct.
Okay. All right. As long as you've said so, then I'm good.
Thank you. Okay. Any old business? Any announcements?
I have one.
Oh, go ahead. You first.
Okay.
Oh, please.
Thank you. I didn't put this in my report, but I wanted to mention it afterwards. Newtown Township will be reviewing a plan that may be important to the borough, and that is at the end of Penn Street at the old Bucks County Law Library, between Penn Street and Newtown Yardley Road, where there are three existing office buildings. There is a proposal to add 2 4-story apartment buildings with 308 apartment dwellings, an interior garage, an outdoor swimming pool, and then another 4-story parking garage. That is tentatively scheduled for the third Tuesday. I see you all feverishly writing. tentatively scheduled for the third Tuesday of this month, but it might be delayed until the first Tuesday of next month.
When you see a plan, is that a sketch plan or an actual?
No, it's an actual preliminary plan. As part of my duties as the township planner, one of my comments was that the plan should be submitted to the borough for at least your review of the traffic impacts to Penn Street.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Does it require any zoning relief?
It may.
Okay.
It's the first submission.
Okay.
It's under the township's usual delay.
Ordinance
for the building. Yes.
I meant to mention
that. We cannot escape the rules. All right. Thanks, Michelle. That's good to know.
I have one announcement. I just want to give a quick update on the bridge project. The bridge project, actually, the bid acceptance was moved out to the 10th of April. So this Friday is the bids will be due. And there's been a lot of correspondence back and forth between potential bidders and the engineer resolving questions. And there seems to be a fair amount of interest. So we're looking forward to seeing the bids. And then I'm not sure what date they will actually be open the following week, but then it will be reviewed by the engineer who will make recommendations to us.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any public to be heard? Go ahead.
I'm going to stand up so I can see.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, okay. There. I wanted to say how much I appreciate the thoughtful process that you put into these conversations about the building, the proposal for Liberty Square, the
center.
And when I first came to Newtown, there was a bowling alley, and there was a children's community center.
With an indoor pool?
Yes, it was an outdoor pool. My kids learned how to swim there. And, you know, both of those things are gone. And so, you know, kids are, when they do come into town, they have Starbucks to hang out at. That's basically it. And that has always made me feel sad. I grew up in Feasterville, this lower Southampton area, and we used to go to the council, the township meetings when they started to build. And we just watched it grow tremendously because they would always list just the pros of a building, a business that wanted to build. And you know, I avoid driving there now because it's just all businesses and no more trees left, and you know, the beauty was gone. We moved to Ben Salem. Same thing happened. And so, you know, looking at the pros is always good, but we do have to really look at the cons of, do you lose a community when you have so many apartments coming in, and now hearing that there's two more buildings coming into Newtown. And I know that there's a proposal to build off of Sycamore, another, you know, four-story apartment building. I just think we, you know, the thought process has to be really community building oriented, because I can feel the changes coming. You know, I lived in the township before I moved to the borough, and I just watched everything build up there as well. So, I just want to kind of piggyback on what Jennifer was saying, is that when you have apartment buildings, they're not invested in the community and helping the community feel like a community. So, that's it.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you. Any additional public to be heard?
One announcement. Our next drug take back day is going to be on April 25th, Saturday. It'll be over at the firehouse. We do accept sharps, and we also distribute Narcan when we head to our sites. So that'll be the next one coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do the Narcan things expire?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'll have to check the expiration date.
Okay.
All right, I will then entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you, everybody.
You don't want to do that.
I was only curious.
Right.
Because if it's something that does require you to leave, and no one's interested in it, I just need to.